Welcome to the Red and Neck Dentist Podcast. I am Doc Mike, host of the podcast. A series of Forrest Gump-like events have brought me to where I am, a small-town country dentist. My experiences in country living, country freedom, country dentistry, and my reaction to pertinent current events will help you live a life of more freedom and less worry. Thank you for choosing the Redneck Dentist Podcast, so let's get to today's freedom-inspiring episode.
Hey, this is Doc Mike. Thank you for joining me live here on Real Liberty Media, and thank you for those of you who download the podcast. I keep seeing every week more and more downloads. I appreciate that, and one way we do that is by posting on social media so everybody knows when we're going live, when we have a show done, when they can listen to podcasts. Everybody knows the Redneck Dentist is live Wednesday and Saturday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern, and sometimes we throw some other stuff in there. We're going to get back to the Take 5 episodes, probably Monday, I'm thinking, but things are going great here. This is the fastest hour on Real Liberty Media, and I don't turn left, so, you know, you got that going for you. Man, today I had my cardiac follow-up. I'm not going to dwell on things too much. Everything's going great, you guys. You know, really, I was in really pretty good shape for a guy 64 years old. The cardiologist was telling me, you know, if you hadn't done the things that you had done, you know, this could have been worse. We could have been doing this 10 years ago. That was before we had this discussion. I kind of talked him through the last couple years and how I could document that I didn't have any cardiac, like predisposition, any disease, you know, cholesterol, high blood pressure, any of those things that would have led to a heart attack. And I told him that I was convinced that this heart attack was due to spike proteins in the vaccine. And the guy was actually pretty serious. You know, he didn't poo-poo it at all. He was just like, you know, yeah, there's some evidence that, you know, those kind of things happen. And he goes, you do have pretty, you know, clear history. Of course, you know, pretty clear history doesn't necessarily mean that he's going to jump on my bandwagon, if you know what I mean. I want to see. Oh, hey, I was going to tell you guys, I'm trying something new today, which is, this is kind of crazy. You know how long it's been since I had to mention anything about audio on my show? I'm not kidding. I was thinking about this recently, and I was like, man, I have not had to deal with any kind of weird stuff with my show audio for so long. Of course, knock on wood. Okay, that's glass, but it'll work. So I decided to try something new today. And we're going to see how it works. In fact, I'm just going to look down here and see. Yeah, it's working. Okay, well, that's good. Yeah, okay. We're going to let it roll. Anyway, so I'm trying something new. It's kind of fun. And actually, I'll tell you guys, I'm actually recording this with my GoPro at the same time. So I'm going to see how that works. So I could actually put up a, I don't know what you call it. What do you call that? A stream, a podcast? I don't know what you call it. I know a podcast is, hell, I don't know what all definitions are. And it really doesn't matter. The main thing is I have fun doing what I'm doing. I'm glad to be here with you guys. And, you know, we're just going to play around with stuff and have fun. And that's my intention always. Well, to have fun and to, you know, pass on some things that I think are interesting to me. And hopefully, live stream. Well, live stream, I guess if I was pumping it out live, it would be live stream. And I could do that, but I'm not going to because there's a little more involved with that. So So we'll get there. We'll get there eventually. I think doing them all at one time might be a little difficult. Actually, you can live stream, and OBS actually makes a recording, like a will also record while you're live streaming, which would work out really well, because then I could upload the audio portion to places that just have voice podcast, and then I can upload the video and audio to Rumble, BitChute, and Odyssey. But I wanted to just catch you guys. The one thing I was saying earlier is about posting to social media. So if you have social media, please post on it. You know, we're growing Real Liberty Media back again. We got new things coming. Man, I saw some beautiful stuff today. It's awesome. I'm not going to mention names right now. I think credit will come later, and I haven't asked if I could. But holy cow, some nice stuff. Some people are doing some cool stuff here, and I really appreciate it. So I had my cardiac follow-up today. Everything's great. I start cardiac rehab on Friday. I really think it's just going to be a matter of kind of building up some aerobic stamina, honestly, because right now I find that if I'm working 4 days a week, well, kind of, and after the second day I'm tired. I mean, I'm tired, and I don't have any, like, my heart is fine. I have stents. Everything's working good. EKG was fine today. Everything, I don't have any kind of residual problems. But, I think that just kicked my butt, sort of, you know, and being in the hospital a few days. And, plus I hurt my knee on June 4th, and I had that knee surgery, so I haven't been able to really do stuff. So for, what, 2 months? Well, August, September, almost 3 months I've been unable to really get some aerobic exercise going. So I'm looking forward to starting a cardiac rehab on Friday and starting to build up some stamina. That's my main thing right now. So that's that. The garden, you guys, I'm not kidding. This is crazy. I'm really glad that we took the time and actually kind of took things a little more serious this year, mainly because it's fun and it's so satisfying to have stuff, you know, from our own property that we can eat. And like right now, we have this huge crop of cantaloupe. I mean, in Oregon, we're growing cantaloupe. In Western Oregon, like, they grow melons in Eastern Oregon, like watermelons and cantaloupe and honeydew and all kinds of melons in Eastern Oregon, but, you know, in Western Oregon, it's not real common. And we have a pretty good crop of melons growing here in Western Oregon. It's kind of amazing. So I'm really excited for that. I told you guys about the honey last week. That's cool. So it's just kind of amazing. Everything's going really well here personally, and I really appreciate everybody's support through that whole stupid event. And hopefully things just keep getting better. Oh my goodness. Let's move on here. I did want to cover a couple of things I thought was really crazy. One is there was, hang on one sec. Yeah, I'll have to cut that out of the video I'm recording, but luckily you guys didn't have to hear that. There was a shooting in a store, and they call it Eastern Oregon. It really isn't Eastern Oregon. It's kind of Central Oregon, but in Bend, Oregon, a young puke went in a store and killed one guy, actually killed two people. And I got to listen to an interview of a husband and wife who were in the store at the time when they heard shots ring out, and they were both concealed carry. They believe in the Second Amendment. They carry their weapons, although it kind of seemed like the guy didn't have his on him, but in one way it sounded like he did, and one way it sounded like he didn't. But anyway, as soon as they realized that it was actually bullets being fired, she drew her weapon. She guided people to the back of the store into a room and said, that she was going to make sure that nobody came through that door. And she didn't sound like, in the heat of battle, I'm sure she was anxious. Adrenaline, fight or flight is going on. But he went to retrieve a weapon from his vehicle. And so I don't know if he had a weapon with him and one in the vehicle, but in any case, it was kind of interesting. They both were on the same page, like, we are going to kill this guy if we see him. And they both did what they could to keep other people safe. And this was kind of interesting. I had a conversation with a patient who said something about, we were kind of talking about that kind of stuff, although I kind of like to not talk about stuff that could be controversial with my patients, but my patient said to me, what are we going to do about this stuff? And I go, I don't know if you want to hear my answer to that. And she goes, no, I'd like to hear what you think. And I go, I think we ought to all carry guns. You know, if everybody carried a gun, I mean, sure, some people say it would be chaos. It wouldn't be chaos for very long, you know, until the good guys kill most of the bad guys. You'd have to think twice about starting something like that. Going in somewhere and shooting something up because you don't know how many people in there. It would no longer be a question of, is there anybody in here who's going to return fire? It would be like, I wonder how many people in here are going to return fire. And that's what I'd like to see, personally. You know, I hate seeing people be abused. And having, you know, violence, being in violent situations where they can't do anything. I hate that helpless situation you see so many people in. We had a guy here in Oregon. Now, I hope to God that whoever posted this bail gets their ass sued off. So listen to this. I'm not going to mention the names, but there's a guy here in Oregon. He had a restraining order because he not only threatened to kill his wife, but he actually had her in a chokehold, and I guess police, somebody interrupted the situation, and he went off to jail, right? Violated the restraining order because he was physically choking his ex-wife. Well, some, you know, ne'er-do-wells posted his bail. One of these groups who post bail for those that they think are, for whatever reason, they post the bail, okay? Like, it's mainly for minorities, you know, people who can't post bail themselves. So these people posted bail for him. And what'd he do? He went out, he took his GPS anklet off, and he went over there and choked his wife to death. To death. She had a restraining order saying that she was afraid he was going to kill her. And this group who posted his bail said, well, we really didn't see any, you know, we really couldn't foresee any reason why he would be violent. Freaking idiot. But you know what happens? I'm not sure how this works in all the rest of the world, but I know in some states when you post bond or you post bail, you're basically responsible for whatever happens to that person. So I hope these people get their ass sued off, honestly. And I hope it's for millions of dollars and it cripples them. Because that was inappropriate, to say the least. Well, that wasn't even on my list to talk about, but we're talking about it anyway. So that shooting in Safeway, actually the guy ended up taking his own life, but a guy working in produce who was an Army veteran actually attacked him and tried to attack him with what he had, which was a produce knife. Don't bring a knife to a gunfight kind of thing. But, I mean, he tried to stop him, and he must have wounded him or something, because after the gunman shot and killed the produce guy, he took his own life. So he must have been injured pretty significantly or knew the gig was up and he was going to get it. So, yeah, that was interesting. But again, you know, there you have some people with a gun. Thank God my brothers and sisters who carry concealed or carry open carry and believe in the Second Amendment and believe in stopping the bad guys. I love you people. All right. So the next thing, have you guys seen what's going on in Jackson, Mississippi? This is pretty crazy. There's no water. Like, there's no water. Like, there's no water to be had. Although, it looked to me like it, you know, there's a lot of rain going on down there. But apparently, all the water that is going to, that would be coming through the taps is contaminated. It's been on a boil water order for a long time. I don't know, weeks or something. They're in trouble. And, you know, I like to point out it's always good to be prepared. And I know it's really hard because you think to yourself, why do I need to store 40 gallons of water right now? You know, and then you store 40 or 50 or 80 or 100. I don't know. We have a tank outside that probably holds, let me think. That's got to be 300, 400 gallons of water. We keep it fresh by filling it, and then we use that water to water the garden so that that water is constantly being used. It's not sitting around getting stale or getting growing algae or whatever, you know, getting bugs, and it's in a closed container, so you can't really get bugs in there like mosquito larvae or, you know, whatever. And if we had to, we could chlorinate it, you know, and get it cleaned up real good. But my point is, yeah, it sucks to store water. And I mean, it takes up space to store water. But look, now you've had whatever. I mean, it was probably a natural disaster. It was probably storms that, you know, overtook. I don't even know what it was. That's kind of sad. It's sort of funny, though. For whatever, and it really doesn't matter. For some reason, water is unavailable in Jackson, Mississippi. So if you didn't have water stored, you're out of luck. Now you're waiting in line. I mean, they got to bring some water in. I mean, they said you can't even flush your toilet. So something's wrong with the system, the entire system, when you can't flush your toilet. So that means something with the whole delivery system is messed up. Because even if it was contaminated, you would be able to flush your toilet, right? No, they're saying there's not even any water to flush your toilet. So there's no drinking water. There's no, you can't boil it. There's not a boil water order now. You can't use the water. There's no water. So at the very least, let's say you have 5 gallons, let's say for one person, you had 5 gallons of water stored. Well, I mean, it's going to get you through a couple days, right? In a couple days, maybe you can figure out what you're going to do next. Like, where are you going to go to get water? You know, or how are you going to get water? You know, now the National Guard's been put on, you know, there's a national emergency, state of emergency there. And, yeah, no kidding. You should be investing in some kind of water treatment plant yourself or treatment facilities, something to make water drinkable. But yeah, let's say if you had just enough water to get you through a couple days, I mean, even if nothing else, you could walk your butt out of wherever you are to somewhere that has water. You can walk quite a distance in 2 days if you have to. Especially if you have water. Yeah, man, it's scary. You don't live long without water. You know, a couple days, maybe. 3, 4, max. Yeah, you get in trouble quick when you when your body starts drying up. Made me thirsty. All right, what's next? Oh my gosh, this is, let's see, what kind of, do we have anything fun on the list today? Oh, god dang it, we don't. Okay, I'll throw this in here. SpaceX launched another 46 satellites yesterday. If you've never seen the SpaceX satellites, I'm telling you, there's, and I didn't write it down because this isn't in my notes. Just go look for SpaceX Tracker or Tracking SpaceX Satellites. And there'll be pages you can look at. Probably SpaceX has one. And go see when they're going to be crossing the sky in your area. And go out and have a look. It's incredible to see this train of satellites go overhead. Especially the first couple days when they're all really tightly packed together. Because each day they get further and further apart. And I remember the first time that we went out and looked at them, which was, I don't know, a year or so ago. They had been already launched for 3 or 4 days. I don't know, maybe 5 days, 6 days. And so we went outside to look and we saw a satellite. And we were like, oh, I wonder if that's it, you know. And I'm not kidding, about a minute and a half later, another satellite came, exact same path, right? And then a minute and a half later, another satellite, and we counted like 50-something satellites in that train. But when they're brand spanking newly launched, you almost can't see the distance between the satellites. It literally looks like a train of lights going through the sky. So that's kind of cool. If you've never seen it, honestly, go take a look. It's really interesting to see, and I recommend it. You know, just, you got to see it at least once, you know. And you might have to get up early or stay up late, but hell, it's summertime. Do it if you have clear skies. We have slightly hazy skies today because some smoke has moved in from some of the fires. I think down south the smoke is moving north. I could be wrong. It could be north fires that smoke's coming south from. But either way, it's just a light haze, but it wasn't enough to interfere with satellite viewing like last night. We kind of sat out in the tub later in the evening and got to observe some, the hot tub, by the way, got to observe some satellites that way. That was really cool. Okay, so let's get into the stuff, man, because, you know, I titled this show something like, you didn't think it could get worse? Well, buckle up, cowboy, because, man, there's just stuff coming at us that we need to be prepared for one way or another. And some of this stuff is, you know, artificially being, you know, thrown at us. Some of it, I'm sure, is being created, obviously. I mean, you know, the gas prices are, you know, being kept high for a reason, because this administration doesn't believe in fossil fuels and they want us all to suffer. You know, they want us to get used to $5-6 a gallon gas, or yeah, you know, so when it goes down to $4.50 or $4, you're like, oh, thank God, it's, hey, we're back to $4 gasoline, and you think that's a good deal. But it wasn't a year ago, 2 years ago. But, I mean, yeah, some of this stuff is being done on purpose. I mean, they're having farmers not farm, for crying out loud. When they already are expecting a food shortage, they're having farmers not farm their land. This doesn't make any sense to anybody who believes in actually feeding people. Like I said, there's some of this is being, you know, pushed on us versus this story, the next story I have. You thought it couldn't get any worse regarding gasoline. The U.S. Department of Transportation and the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration said the unanticipated shutdown of the BP Whiting refinery due to the fire has affected the supply of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel throughout 4 Midwest states. Let's see which they are. Illinois, Indiana, Michigan, and Wisconsin. It's an unanticipated shutdown of an oil refinery in Indiana due to a fire. The fire on August 24th knocked out the electrical power and cooling water systems at BP Whiting in Indiana, causing it to shut down and undergo assessment, Reuters previously reported. Meanwhile, CBOB, a common grade of gasoline, went up 30.5 cents a gallon in the Chicago area on August 25th, a day after the oil refinery shutdown. Ultra-low sulfur diesel went up by 17 cents on the same day. Like, you almost can't believe some of the stuff that's happening. Remember how many food processing and food storage plants have burned? Well, now the time frame has expanded, but at one point it was like 50 or 60 food processing facilities and food storage facilities had been damaged in 6 months, 4 months. When before, the previous years, there hadn't been but maybe a dozen. So, like one thing after another just causing us more and more kind of heartache if you're not prepared. So be prepared. Hey, getting back to my garden, I want to tell you guys, man, I keep finding more and more medicinal plants on my property, which is kind of awesome. We finally took some mullein leaves and started drying them. And I was actually out changing batteries in one of my trail cams on the property. And I looked down, I'm like, dang, man, that's two more first-year mullein plants. And I keep finding them, man, and that's awesome. And then the comfrey and hibiscus and, you know, God, we have all kinds of stuff on this property, and it's just awesome. So now we're actually starting to harvest them. You know, I have the greatest daughter. She is my stepdaughter, but I consider her my daughter. She is so into finding all the healthy stuff that you can use from the land around you. And she, you know, when I came home from the hospital having had a heart attack, man, she was on it right away. She was like, okay, you know, here's your, like, here's your new food. She had kind of figured out all the stuff that I could have for snacks and the food that I should be eating. And, you know, she wasn't like a Nazi about it or anything. She was just very kind of loving and kind about, you know, hey, this, you know, this is your new life if you choose to live it. You know, this is the stuff that you need or that you can have that will be good for you versus, you know, a bacon double cheeseburger. And, you know, I'm grateful for that, but she is just a wealth of knowledge, man, and she loves getting the books in her hands, like, you know, edible plants of the Pacific Northwest, you know, or herbal remedies from, you know, all different kinds of authors and sources, and she compares them all, and she's always sharing with me. When she found that wild spinach, you know, it was the craziest thing. Just came up with a handful of spinach, and she goes, you know what this is? I said, I have no idea. She goes, that's wild spinach. And she just, like, grabs a leaf, shoves it in her mouth, and eats it. She goes, yeah, you can eat it just like this. You can eat it in a salad. You can put it in your scrambled eggs. We like spinach in our scrambled eggs. And, yeah, she's just an awesome asset to have. But honestly, like, my entire family right here, everybody has some value. You know, everybody pitches in, even the grandkids, sometimes they complain about doing stuff, but they still do it, you know, and they're still learning, like, how to fend for themselves. I think that's what's most important. Even though they may not make the connection now, I mean, they're, what, 6, 8, 10, and 12, basically. You know, and probably some of it, they don't understand, like, this is food that could keep you alive for a long time. Like, you could be self-sufficient right here eating this food. And, you know, that's awesome that they participate in every aspect of this. Yeah. you know, and they get to see, like, we bring vegetables in from outside and we put them, you know, on the counter and we clean them up and we cut them up and eat them. I mean, you can't really get more basic than that, you know. And when you start getting to the point of using medicinals, and let's say they actually see those medicinal plants work for something or another, they'll understand there's a connection there. You don't need to go to the pharmaceuticals because you don't need to. I mean, it's right here on the land. And I'm not saying to ignore the pharmaceuticals, definitely. I told my doc today, I was like, listen, like, before I go into this kind of long discussion that you and I are going to have right now, I want you to know I'm going to follow your instructions explicitly. Like, whatever you tell me you want me to do, I'm going to do it. But I'm always going to ask questions so that I understand why I'm doing what I'm doing. For example, I was going over my med list with him today. You know, because I'm on high blood pressure meds, which I've never had high blood pressure. So, okay, I take my blood pressure every day before I take the blood pressure med. There's two of them. I have the option of taking one or two if my blood pressure is high. So I had this, what, 2 weeks, almost 3 weeks now, 2.5 weeks ago, I had a heart attack. And I had this chart of my blood pressure. You know, maybe 2 days it was above 120. And, you know, I was like, this is what I'm telling you. I don't have high blood pressure, but I'm going to follow your instructions exactly how you want me to follow them. Because I don't want to encourage any other cardiac failures, trust me. But on my list of meds was Pepcid, which is for heartburn, right? And well, Bear's just sitting here shivering like he's scared. I don't know what's wrong, Bear. You'll be okay, buddy. So I ask him, I'm like, okay, so why do I have Pepcid and it says to take it every day, twice a day, morning and afternoon? And he goes, oh, it's just for heartburn. He goes, you don't need to take it if you don't want to. Well, why would I want to take something for heartburn that I don't have? So, you know, that's going to come off the list of meds I take every day because I don't need it. But, you know, if you don't ask, I'm going to tell you the truth. I see patients every single day who have a med list, right? And one of the things we do with every single patient every single day is take their blood pressure. Their blood pressure is above my personal boundary. I don't treat them. Which my personal boundary is 140 over really 105. Actually 100. 140 over 100. If they're above on either one of those numbers, I'm not treating them. Except if it's an emergency, I'll treat them if they're under 110 on the lower number because it's an emergency. So I'm trying to help them out, you know. But here's the thing that I find that's kind of most amazing. Patient comes in, I take their blood pressure, it's high. And I look on their health history, they're on blood pressure meds. Hey, did you take your blood pressure medication today? No, I forgot. And I'm thinking to myself, how can you forget to take your blood pressure medication, honestly? Like, you have high blood pressure, you're at risk for stroke and freaking tons of other problems, and you just forget to take your blood pressure medication, and now you're here hoping to get some dentistry done, and I'm not going to see you because your blood pressure is too high. So you're going to have to come back, you know, in 4, 5, 6 months when I have an opening because you didn't take your blood pressure medication. And it's the craziest thing to me. Like, I know that I don't have and haven't had high blood pressure, but I'm still going to take my blood pressure, and if it's high, I'm going to take the medication. Fortunately for me, like 2 times in 3 weeks, I took it. So it's not very, and when you imagine, the numbers they use is 120 over 80. So if either of my numbers are over, the top one over 120, the bottom one over 80, I got to take this med because I said I would. Not because I think my blood pressure is high, but because I said I would. I'm going to do what I'm supposed to be doing until we get through this initial phase of like whole new life, right? Hey, but I do want to mention this. This is kind of crazy. You guys know, if you listen to the podcast, I said, like, I don't know, 2 months ago, 2 or 3 months ago, I said, hey, you know, I need to start losing weight. And you guys will be able to see that on my podcast, on my streams, on my Take Fives or whatever. Well, when I went to the hospital with a heart attack, I had lost 15 pounds. And today's weight was 8 more pounds, so 22 pounds in whatever, 3 or 4 months, just by minor changes, well, minor changes in diet up until I had the heart attack, and then it was kind of a major change. Like, I ate fish probably 5 days a week. I know a lot of people, I've probably talked about it before, I like canned salmon, I like herring, herring. Sardines. So I like canned salmon, tuna, sardines. I happen to like them, and it's a perfect treat for me. I have a certain kind of cracker I eat with it that, you know, doesn't have any trans fats in it. And it's easy. I mean, I'm to the point in my life I can do easy, like, you know, easy food, simple food, I can do that. So if that means I open a can of sardines and have some, you know, whole grain crackers, that's what I'm going to do. Or I have these pop chips, I guess. And sun chips are actually not bad either. And so it hasn't been hard for me. But I got to tell you something. It was really encouraging to see that since the hospital, I'd lost 8 pounds. That's like 2 weeks, a little more than two, well, almost 3 weeks. And I was thinking, man, that's incredible that you can make that much difference in such a short period of time. So, you know, if you ever need to do it or you're thinking about doing it, you know, it's not that difficult. I, honest to God, this was the craziest thing. I was telling my cardiac guy today, I was like, hey, I said, well, I've only had red meat twice since the heart attack. Once was last night, and it was actually in Mongolian beef, and I only took maybe 5, and it was cubed, little cubed pieces, like stew cuts, but smaller. And I had like maybe 7 pieces, I think. Mostly I had sauce and the veggies. And he goes, you know, all things in moderation. You know, all things in moderation. And he said, I don't think you need to do without any of those things. He said, just, you know, get the right, you know, make sure you have your proportion right. Oh my gosh, I am not kidding. Yeah, fresh salmon. Oh my gosh, it is delicious. Hey, Vinny, if you come out here, we'll get some, man, and we'll grill it up and have some, okay? I do love fresh. You know, and the thing is, like canned food, canned salmon, canned sardines, canned tuna is easy, right? And it's fine. Like it meets the criteria of eating fish however many times a week. And so that works in my favor. Hey, let's move on to the next story because I just can't wait to talk about what scumbags the FBI is. I'm not kidding. You know, it's crazy to be 64 years old and have lived through this wild time. I mean, really, if you think about it, it's almost like Hakuna Matata. The cycle of life is coming back around because if you think back about the Kennedy assassination and you kind of imagine the characters that were involved in that and you have any idea other than, you know, what's his name? What's the guy's name who shot and killed Kennedy? I hate the FBI.com. Oh my God, I got to go there. If that's a real site. Not Jack Ruby. Jack Ruby's the guy who shot him. Anyway, it doesn't matter. But Oswald. If you believe that Oswald killed Kennedy, well, I'm sorry for you. But my point is, you know, even back as early as 1960, we were suspicious that our own intelligence agencies could have been responsible for killing John F. Kennedy and Bobby Kennedy, for that matter. And then here we are, you know, 50 years later. Well, what is it, 70 years later, for crying out loud? No, it can't be. It's got to be 60. And, you know, the FBI is up to the same thing. You know, this is a total sham. It may not be a total sham what they're doing to Trump, but they're doing everything in their power. Our own intelligence agencies are doing everything in their power to keep Trump from getting elected, even being able to run again. That's how terrified they are of him. And, I mean, look at the 4 years that he was in office and how much they messed with him from before he got elected until he left office and afterwards. They constantly dogged this guy and brought up false claims against him and everything else. So here's this story. FBI has turned into a den of scumbags, or was it always? I mean, basically, I'm alluding back to, you know, the 60s. I mean, just look what happened. And I'm telling you, if you don't question whether Kennedy was killed by somebody who was riding in the car with him or somebody very close by, I'm telling you, you have to do more research. There's some footage out there that'll blow your mind, I can tell you that. All right, let's get to this story. Senior FBI agent at Center of Political Bias claims resigns from the Bureau. So there's some question now. It said that he retired. He was escorted out of the building. But listen to what this guy was up to. In a July 18th letter sent to FBI Director Christopher Wray and Attorney General Merrick Garland, that creep, Grassley named Thibault and detailed highly credible whistleblower claims that he did not follow the FBI's strict, substantial, factual predication guidelines in the course of the Hunter Biden investigation. We all know that already, right? We know that they buried the Hunter Biden laptop story because it would have interfered with the election. Based on allegations, verified and verifiable derogatory information on Hunter Biden was falsely labeled as disinformation, Grassley wrote. Accordingly, the allegations provided to my office appear to indicate that there was a scheme in place among certain FBI officials to undermine derogatory information connected to Hunter Biden by falsely suggesting it was disinformation. By falsely suggesting it was disinformation. If you guys haven't seen the interview with Joe Rogan and the dude from Facebook, Zuckerberg, man, I'm sure you've probably seen clips from it. I listened to it one night when I was going to sleep, and then I had to listen to it again the next night because I didn't hear much of it. And yeah, it's crazy. Zuckerberg just flat out said that the FBI, did I write this down somewhere? No. He said the FBI called us and said, hey, and it was actually this guy, Thibault, was one of the agents who called and told Zuckerberg, hey, listen, you know, there's going to be an information dump similar to what happened before the 2016 election, and I just want you to be aware that it's disinformation. You just need to be on the lookout for when it starts coming out that we've already verified it's disinformation. So he kind of put Zuckerberg on notice that something's going to come out and it's BS, so ignore it. And Zuckerberg actually said, "Yeah, we're not going to let this information get around." And he said they limited the ability to share that information. And when Rogan asked him, well, how much, you know, did you limit it? He said he didn't know, which, you know, that's a lie. You know, Zuckerberg would have known if somebody asked him, you know, did you limit how much this information was shared, that the next question was going to be, well, how much did you limit it? I can't wait till these social media stars come crashing down, because their protection's going to run out, especially if the House and the Senate change hands. Oh my God, I can't even imagine. Honestly, I can't even imagine the number of investigations that are going to get blown. Like, there won't be anything else getting done the next 2 years, which is perfectly fine with me. I'm glad when Congress doesn't do a damn thing, because we already have so many freaking laws. We don't need any more regulations. We don't need any more laws. We don't need any more restrictions from the U.S. government. So when they're busy doing their little dog and pony shows, it's fine with me. But honestly, these social media companies need to lighten up and either be a platform for everybody or lose their standing. You know, they have some kind of protected status from the United States government. Why? I have no idea, but they do. And it needs to come to an end, because if they're not allowing everybody access to the same platform, if they're not letting everybody have the same voice, then they need to have those freedoms taken away. Hold on. Anyway, yeah, so, you know, bye-bye to that guy. I hope we never see him again, but he'll end up somewhere. He'll end up on one of these leftist news media, mainstream media shows doing commentary about how great he was and, you know, how messed up the right is and all that. Oh, yeah, that was the other thing. One of the other things he did, I got to go back to this because, yeah, now listen to this. In a separate letter, Jordan disclosed whistleblower allegations that Thibault had pressured his subordinates to pad the number of reported domestic violent extremism cases to support the White House's narrative about threats facing the country. Ray called the allegations against Thibault deeply troubling during a Senate Judiciary Committee hearing earlier this month. Thibault was removed from his supervisory role on the Hunter Biden investigation after the whistleblower accusations became public. Bye-bye. Yeah, so that guy's a freaking jerk. You got this to look forward to. I'm sure this won't be the only opportunity this isn't going to be the only time this happens. Illinois State Police making house calls, seizing guns to bring revoked FOID holders into compliance. And FOID is, let me just see what that is. It's like some kind of a firearms, though most people don't know it, the Illinois State Police now make house calls. However, they aren't coming to welcome new neighbors or bring good cheer. Instead, they're coming to confiscate the firearms from those with revoked firearms owners' ID cards. In other words, your card expired and you own a firearm, so they're coming to take it away because you didn't renew your firearm owner's ID card. And you can make the argument, you know, Second Amendment, you have the right to keep and bear arms. But basically, so what they're doing, and maybe somebody will challenge this and sue the Illinois State Police. Was it Illinois State Police? Yeah. Yep. Hopefully they'll sue them and win a lot of money and stop this practice from going on. Because just because you don't have a fire owner's ID card doesn't take away your constitutional right to keep and bear arms. Maybe in that state they have their little rule, but it needs to be challenged and taken to the Supreme Court. whatever and overturn and get this practice stopped. But I'm telling you, this it's Illinois, for crying out loud. You know, not one of the reddest states in the 50 United States, that's for sure. And yeah, they're probably going to go for it, you know, and take as many guns as they can from freedom-loving Americans. You know, hopefully we all wake up and do something before it's too late. What next? White House press secretary. Oh, yeah. Oh, my God, you guys. If you didn't see this, freaking discussion the White House secretary was having, this is one of the funniest things ever. So, you know who I'm talking about, Jean-Pierre. He's so stupid. So her and Peter Ducey are having a discussion about the migrants, and actually the discussion was about why do migrants just get to walk across the border without being vaccinated, but this international tennis star can't come play in the U.S. Open because he is unvaccinated. And she said, first of all, she said, well, number one, they're not just walking across the border. I mean, how freaking far out of touch are you? Honest to God, I want you to think about something. How could you possibly live in this country and be the president's White House secretary and not have seen any pictures whatsoever of people literally walking across the border? I mean, what did she think? That they're driving? That they're flying? I mean, yeah, they are driving and flying, but there's tens of thousands of pedestrians literally walking across the border, the southern border, every single day. Oh, by the way, Texas and Arizona, any of you states who are looking for some place to send some of your migrants, Oregon is a sanctuary state, so please, Oregon has plenty of money and benefits that they are dying to share with those immigrants. It's a sanctuary state. We have a lot of sanctuary cities. Portland could use a bunch of immigrants, honestly. I will pay for at least one bus myself just to make sure that they come here and get the greatest benefits that Oregon has to offer. I mean, Portland could easily take 5, 6, 10,000 new arrivals. They would be happy to do that. Kate Brown, the governor of Oregon, she would probably even send buses to you, maybe even pay for the buses herself, I would think. I mean, we're already, Oregon has made an agreement to pay travel expenses of women who need abortions coming from out of state. I don't really see it any different as going down to the southern border and getting a bunch of new arrivals and having them come up here and, you know, enjoying some of the great benefits and the beautiful landscape we have here in Oregon. And I mean, if they want to work, there's plenty of jobs available. Hell, I cruise through even the local towns here. And I'm not kidding. There's got to be, like, every single business has a sign posted, help wanted. And we do have a lot of, you know, other jobs that they'd be interested in, or I think they'd be interested in. There are literally jobs everywhere in Oregon. And, yeah, we could really use some migrants up here. I'm going to write, I think, directly to the governor of Texas and tell him, you know, it'd be awesome if he could send some of those people to Oregon. I really, you know, I'm just trying to help out anywhere I can. I know, I have a moat. Don't worry. I have anti-personnel systems in place. Yeah, so we got to get that done eventually, one way or another. Dang it. Never enough time. Almost, though. We're doing good. Oh, we got tons of time. All right, so what's next? Oh, yeah. Oh, wait a minute. I got to find this quote. Because the other thing was, she said something about fascism. Oh, yeah. Because Jean-Pierre said, you look at the definition of fascism, and you think about what they're doing and attacking our democracy, what they're doing and taking away. She's talking about Trump Republicans, MAGA Republicans, taking away our freedoms, wanting to take away our rights, our voting rights. I mean, this is what that is. It is very clear, and that's why Biden made that powerful speech, whatever speech that was. So they actually looked up fascism, and where's the damn definition? I lost it now. God dang it. I literally just had it. The definition of fascism is a system of government marked by centralization of authority under a dictator, an economy subject to stringent governmental controls, violent suppression of the opposition, and typically a policy of belligerent nationalism and racism. And I don't know about you guys, but right now, today, I identify the left, the Democratic Party, with those statements precisely. So, it is crazy. I don't know where they got her, man. She is not good at her job. And not, I mean, I just can't believe she doesn't understand that people are walking across the border just like every single day. That's how they get here. I mean, you know, she's got to know, because she's actually said in the past that these people put their lives on the line walking for, you know, who knows how many tens, hundreds, thousands of miles to get to the United States. But somehow at the last minute, I don't know, they're somehow magically transported into the United States. They don't actually walk across the border. And she seems so disgusted, like, you know, Peter, it's not like they just walk across the border. No, they literally walk across the border. Like, literally walk across the border. Sometimes into the border patrol. Sometimes they just walk into the country and go wherever and do whatever. All right, holy hell. I've had these two stories on my list for so long, it's really starting to drive me crazy. I might do an extra show just for these three things. Yeah, I might do that. So let's close with this. This is funny as hell. A recent statement from CBS promoting a study that linked childhood obesity to climate change was widely hammered, and the TV network was accused of spreading propaganda. Like, literally, climate change is the reason your kid is fat. Honestly. You know what's kind of funny? We were having this discussion today. I'm going to get off topic. No, I'm not. We were having this discussion today about, like, people in the United States being healthy or unhealthy. We're not healthy. We're a bunch of fat, lazy bastards, but we have a lot of guns, so don't try and take us over. And you don't have to be in good shape to shoot a gun. But my point is, like, yeah, people eat horribly. If you would just do what they tell you to do, I mean, way back when, even though the food pyramid isn't actually accurate, but if you would just eat fresh fruits and vegetables and limit the amount of meat and cheese and stuff that's not good for you, I mean, you could literally keep eating everything, but, you know, do it in moderation. But no, it's climate change. CBS Morning cited a study published in the journal Temperature. I'm sure it's not biased. The study said that children are now 30% less aerobic, fitness than their parents at the same age. The study's author argued that warming temperatures are making children less active, thus making them more obese. Seriously. So it's too warm outside to go out and play. Do you think that's it? Nope. I don't buy it for a second. Yeah, exactly. Too many fries, too many Happy Meals, too much cheap crap food, unfortunately, that that's what parents can afford to buy, you know. I kind of hate it for them, but I think that's the big problem. That is the biggest problem here, is just, you know, cheap food is available and easy. And that's going to do it for this week. I'll see you guys, today is Wednesday. I'll see you guys Saturday, 9 p.m. Eastern.
Thank you for listening to the Redneck Dentist Podcast. Please show your support for the podcast. This podcast is not on the biggest platforms, but it is on the best free speech platforms. Until next time, remember, all bleeding eventually stops.